Please stand for our scripture reading this day, which comes to us from the Gospel according to John, chapter 14, verses 15 through 21. If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him because he abides with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you orphaned. I am coming to you. In a little while, the world will no longer see me, but you will see me. Because I live in you, because I live, you will also live. On that day, you will know that I am in the Father, and you in me, and I in you. They who have my commandments and keep them are those who love me. And those who love me will be loved by my Father, and I will love them and reveal myself to them. The Gospel of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. Will you pray with me? For your presence this day and every day, God, Father, Son, and Spirit, we give you thanks. Open our minds, open our ears, and open our hearts. Form us and shape us. Amen. I remember it fairly well, actually very well. It was one of the more lonely times in my life, even though it was quite brief. It was August of the year 2002. My parents had just left me. They left me. Can you believe that? What kind of parents would leave their son, especially their youngest son? But I had made a decision that I was going to go to college in a small town in Arkansas. And we had just been to the president's convocation, which, more or less to this day, if I have to summarize his message, it is something along the lines of, it's time. Parents, it's time. Students, it's time. Cut the cord. Parents, go home. Students, we'll see you in 30 minutes in the dining hall. They gave us a very short window, and I think there was good reason for that, because as I watched my parents travel away from me, knowing that they weren't coming back, and that at the end of the school day, for the first time in my school history, I wouldn't come home to mom's fresh-baked first day of school cookies. It was a very, very lonely feeling watching that vehicle leave the parking lot, drive down the street, and disappear behind the pines. They left me, and I was thrust into the community. John's farewell discourse. That's what we read this morning in John chapter 14. It's part of Jesus preparing his disciples for his departure, for him to leave them. Not only to leave them through the cross, but we read it this day as we prepare for this Thursday and next Sunday for the ascension. For Jesus not only to leave through the cross, but to be taken up into heaven. And we are left alone, but not. For we are sent an advocate. Do you know this feeling? The feeling of loneliness, the fear of being left alone. It's something that our society knows is deep within us. And much like the Acts text, which Kay read for us this morning, There's something buried in us that we know. This fear. Although Paul points to this knowing that there is this something other than that's outside of our grasp that we don't quite know, but we know we should worship that God. And so we make this altar to an unknown God. And Paul tells those people that I'm here to tell you what you have said is unknown. I've got this information for you that this is what is unknown, and I'm going to make it known to you. But advertising agencies have realized that we are a people who fear being alone, who fear others leaving us behind. That's the reason why this phone that I have that's more than 2 years old is already outdated. It's not working quite as well as it did because every 2 years, Apple tells you, you need to just buy a new device because we're not going to keep updating backward to make it compatible. And honestly, to get the most out of your device, you just need to update. Otherwise, you're not going to be downloading apps that would be helpful, and you don't want to be left behind, do you? Do you? I know I sure don't. I'll buy into that every 2 years. Actually, I'm getting in. This is more than 2 years old. I'm trying to stretch my dollars here and deal with the fact that sometimes my phone crashes in the middle of something very important, like finding my way to the nearest restaurant. Yes, we fear being left. We fear being left alone. We fear being left behind. There was even a very cleverly targeted book series that came out a few years ago that focused in on our fear of being left behind. I'll buy that book. I'll read that instruction book on how not to be one of those, right? Very clever. And so as we read this farewell discourse, it's easy to find ourselves thinking, what do we need to do? Do I need to buy a new phone? Can I buy a book that'll help me not miss you so much, Jesus? What's going to keep you from going away from us? Can we do something? Whatever it is, say it, and it'll happen. I'll make it happen. I'll find a way. Just don't leave me. Don't leave me. We don't like saying goodbye. Unless it's a person we really didn't like, and then it's a good riddance. These words of Jesus are meant to comfort. They're meant to make us feel good. I will not leave you orphaned. I will send you another advocate from the Father who will be with you and is already with you and is in you. These words are meant to be comforting, and yet they seem to be sort of enigmatic as Jesus tells us that he's not going to leave us. And then later, next week, if you come, we'll be talking about Jesus doing that very thing. Jesus, you're leaving. You said you wouldn't do this. What gives? These words that are meant to be comforting end up being quite puzzling to us. And I'm sure puzzling to the disciples as they see Jesus doing exactly that which he said he would not do. You're going to send us somebody. Well, how long do we have to wait for that? I mean, I can't even hardly wait for something to come from Amazon, and that's 2 days shipping. How long, O Lord, must we wait? And yet these words, puzzling as they may be and somewhat comfortable for us, yet also discomforting, they form our beliefs about who Jesus is. You see, Jesus gives us some doctrine here. Jesus tells us that he is one with the Father. He is in us, and we are in him. I think in our culture it's important to remember that second part about how Jesus is present with us. So often it's tempting to claim Jesus is in me, and forget that I am in Christ. That God is not only within me being the yes man to everything that I do, but I am in Christ being formed into that will, which may not always coincide with who I am and what I do. They also, these words that Jesus gives us, form some of our beliefs about the Spirit, or as Jesus calls it, the Advocate. And we wait for the arrival of the Spirit. We wait for it. We wait for Pentecost. We wait for the Spirit of God to come. Spirit, faith, come down. Have you ever feared being left? Have you ever been left? Maybe in a grocery store when you were very young by your parents as you got distracted or they went on to the next item in the list and you suddenly realize that you are alone on aisle 3 and I can't find mom and dad. Maybe you were left by your family while you were on a trip. They left you somewhere, forgot about you, didn't do a head count before they got in the car and departed. Were you left by a parent? Maybe in the way that I was as you went to college, or maybe in the way that life is, you were left. Were you left by a spouse, by a loved one, who either decided that they no longer wanted to be a part of your life, or for circumstances which we all know are coming eventually, departed? It's painful to be left alone. It's unpleasant and it is terrifying. And so Jesus addresses the distress that his departure is about to cause. He lets his disciples know, gives them a warning shot. And somehow, warning shots, when it comes to saying goodbye, seeing it coming doesn't always make it easier. It doesn't always prepare us. I will not leave you orphaned. I will be with you. Maybe this promise of presence reminds us of Jesus' words as he departs from his disciples in Matthew 28. And remember, I am with you always to the end of the age. A great comfort. Wesley, as he was about to depart this life and move on in Christ, said something along the lines of, and the best of all is that God is with us. These words are meant to be a comfort. The cry of the Psalms, many of the Psalms cry about and indicate to a fear that God is absent, God is far away from us, and we cannot feel God's presence around us, with us, in us, and through us. There is pain when God seems far, especially when we have been in a place where we felt so close. We want to get back to that mountaintop. Even when we feel in the valley, and when it feels like we are distant, God is present. We must believe that if we are going to actually take Jesus' words at their face value, to believe Jesus. But today's psalm addresses not only God's presence, but it also addresses what a right response to being in the presence of God and to realizing that you are in the presence of God, the psalmist declares that I will come into your presence with praise and thanksgiving. I will make the sacrifices which I promised when I was in trouble, when I felt alone. Have you ever made those bargains with God? But blessing and praising God, bringing offerings, giving testimony, this is what the psalmist tells us it's like to be in the presence of God. This is what it's like. I must tell you. Can I tell you? Open your ears and let me tell you. The psalmist offers us an example of what it's like to realize that you are coming into or already are in the presence of God. It is demonstrative, generous, active. It's full of thanksgiving. And yet, it is realistic about struggles. Did you catch that part about our enemies trampling our heads? Friends, we don't subscribe to the opiate of the masses, which lets us be numb to that which we are going through. We must be honest when we feel our heads have been trampled, when we feel our hearts have been broken. We must realize that then, we are in the presence of God, because we serve a God who has had and who has been heartbroken and has been downcast by enemies, has been put to suffering. And so when we are suffering, when all of our friends leave us, when our parents leave us, we are in the presence of Christ because Christ knows what that feels like. The church must be a place where we can be honest about our struggles and about our pains, about the way it feels when someone says goodbye or when we have to say goodbye, or when someone leaves without saying goodbye. The church must be a place where pain can be welcomed and dealt with. That's why we gather every week. That's why we gather and sing songs as we send our brothers and sisters on in glory. We must deal with pain. We must deal with fear. We must be with each other when we feel alone. Because that is in the presence of Christ. We are in the presence of Christ this day, this hour. Friends, God is in our midst, and that is reason for rejoicing. God is in our midst. Christ is in us. We are in Christ, and the advocate is here. I know this because I believe Jesus, and I take him at his word. I believe we are in the presence of God and the presence of Christ because I have seen suffering. I have seen suffering in the loss of loved ones. I've seen suffering in lost friends. I've seen suffering in pain as we go through healing. I've seen suffering as we send people away and don't know if they're coming back home. And we don't sweep that under the rug. We don't hide it under the pew cushions. This must be a place where community can surround us, where we, when we feel most alone, as I did when my parents drove away, that I'm pulled into community, thrust into the life of something much bigger than me. God is present this hour, this day, with us. But I have to wonder about myself and about us, about we as a people. Are we present this morning? Are we present in the way that the psalmist is in Psalm 66? Do we come forth with thanksgiving and praise, with generous offerings of what we have promised God, if only God would get us through this? We have come into God's presence realizing that all things have come to us from God. And so these things which I call my own are not mine. If you love me, you will keep my commands. That you love one another just as I have loved you, so you should love one another. The writer of Hebrews says it's a fearful thing to be in the presence of the living God. It's not easy sometimes to come to this place in praise and thanksgiving, with generosity, ready to be active, responding to that which God has given us. And it's sure not easy to love. It's not easy sometimes to love God. And it's not easy to love each other. Knowing what's expected when you come into the presence of God, do you still want to be in the presence of God? It's a fearful thing. More powerful than the fear of being alone. Do you want to be in that presence? I do. At least I think I do. Most days, I'm pretty sure. I hope I'm not alone. I hope I'm not alone. I hope that you want to be in that presence. And I also hope I'm not alone, that sometimes I'm not so sure about this thing we call ministry. But I hope that you'll join me, because I don't want to be alone. I hope you'll join me as we work toward this kind of being present with God. That's generous, that's active, that's thankful and praising. Let's be involved in works that depend on the presence of Christ. Let's do things that we can't do alone, but that we need each other for, and we need Christ for. Don't leave me. Do not leave God. Come into the presence. Amen.